It's challenging today to find a church that is committed to preaching the Word of God so as to fulfill Christ's great commission. That is our goal here at the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We invite you to join us for worship 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. EscondidoURC.org is the website. 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido is the address. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.
Contending earnestly for the faith. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
What about the nation of Israel? We have lots of Bible teachers on the radio telling us that we should expect for God to raise back up the temple over there, to reinstitute sacrifice and offering, to bring back all the people there to the land, to restore Israel so that the Messiah might come and dwell in a Jerusalem temple for 1,000 years after the rapture of the church and the 7 years of tribulation. Is that biblical? Is that something that the scriptures teach? Is that something we should look for? That's what we are tackling here today on Abounding Grace and probably tomorrow too, as we look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 9 about the nation of Israel. Well, we're thankful that you have tuned into Abounding Grace Radio today. We invite you to go to the website at agradio.org to explore that website, to learn more about who we are, what we believe, and to download the podcast. There's a form there to write to us. We would love to hear from you. And so thank you in advance, and we pray and trust these radio broadcasts are a blessing to you, and thank you again for tuning in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote something that is very tragic about the nation of Israel. He says, "Their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." A clear statement is made there that a veil lies over to this day the heart of the nation of Israel. What does that mean? When they read Moses, when they read the prophets, they can't see Jesus. They can't see about the Christ. They can't see that everything was about him. We know there have been a host of Bible teachers obsessed with the nation of Israel, telling us that they are God's chosen people, they are the apple of his eye, that even as if we as a nation do not support Israel, we are doomed as a nation. And we hear all the time that the promises made to Abraham have yet to be fulfilled until national Israel is fully restored to its land. The temple is built, and Christ reigns on that Jerusalem throne for 1,000 years. As I think about all these things, and I've heard these things for years, I've often wondered if people have thought through this tragic fruit that has resulted from that teaching. We don't call Israel to faith today. Do we say today that apart from Jesus, they are under condemnation? Would anyone dare to say that? That apart from Jesus, they are under condemnation and they are not a nation that are blessed. They are a nation that are under its curse. That's a foreign message. Why have we never heard that? What all of this has done with the charts and the temple building and Christians sending their money to get the temple furniture ready is we have promoted the nation of Israel in her unbelief. Well, Israel loves Christianity because Christians send them this kind of stuff. They have this kind of view, and nobody's calling them to faith. And it's a tragic thing that has happened on the American scene of how we have viewed the nation of Israel. In fact, the moment that you say, hold on, hasn't God told us that that nation has been cut off? That there's a veil over their hearts, that the fig tree was cursed, that Jesus said, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again," that Jesus said, "The kingdom shall be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits thereof." The minute these things are said, or even that the promises to Abraham are indeed finding fulfillment in the Gentiles and Jews together right now, you're labeled as a replacement theologist or an anti-Zionist and dangerous to the causes of God's promises. But God hasn't left us in wonder about the nation of Israel. If we would listen to the clear teachings of the Bible regarding the nation of Israel, we would see there's nothing really mysterious or unclear about what has happened. It's just discerning how the promises have actually unfolded throughout history. God has explained this to us. And we have this explained for us in Romans chapter 9, explaining for us the phenomenon of what went wrong with national Israel and how we are to view that. Romans 9 through 11 is helping us to think through the issue. And we come to, in Romans 9, toward the end, a string of Old Testament passages that are given to answer the single great question of chapter 9 as to whether God's word and his promise has failed with regard to national Israel. And so he answers this by making some plain observations from the Old Testament. First, it was always God's intention to call Jews and Gentiles into his kingdom, together, under one tent. This is what the promise that was made through Noah to Shem and Japheth, Japheth representing the Gentiles. They would be brought into the tent of Shem. This was said to Abraham, that in you, Abraham, all the Gentiles of the earth shall be blessed, the nations, the pagan Gentiles. God did promise to restore Israel, but that Israel restoration only and always included a remnant. And so God is explaining this for us. God is helping us to understand these things through what he has said in Romans chapter 9. And in verse 23, he said something that was very challenging, that God is bearing patiently with this sad world of unbelievers, whom he calls vessels of destruction, that he might demonstrate his mercy to the vessels of his mercy. It's a wonderful statement. God is rescuing every last one of his vessels of mercy. And he even forbears and stays and is patient with this unbelieving world to accomplish and demonstrate his mercy to his people, his sheep. And we can see this. We testify to this. Well, he's been predominantly in Romans chapter 9 talking about Israel, national Israel. But after all this talk on Israel and election, he says something startling, something that gets completely overlooked. God said that he's demonstrating his mercy on the vessels of mercy. And then in verse 24, he says this, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Whoa. Now you have to think about how radical a statement that is. He just said he's included the Gentiles in this calling. And then he applies this by looking at the teachings of Hosea. This is Hosea, and I know this is going to be a little bit complex today on Abounding Grace, but if you can follow this, it will really answer the dilemma that we have with the nation of Israel, and it will really challenge the assumption that is commonly made about Israel by American Bible teachers. Listen to verse 25 of Hosea. I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. Now, Paul puts this here from the book of Hosea in Romans chapter 9, which is telling us to go back to the book of Hosea and understand this. Remember that Hosea prophesied to the northern kingdom of Israel, which would be carried off and destroyed in the year 722. Now, no one can forget the famous scene in Hosea chapter 1, when God comes to Hosea and he tells him to take a wife of harlotry. This woman, Gomer, would be an unfaithful wife to Hosea. And the Lord wanted this all as an illustration, a visual demonstration of how Israel was an unfaithful woman to him, the Lord. And so we read in verse 1, go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. So he went and took Gomer. Now, they had three children, and by adultery. And notice this, the first is Jezreel. It's a weird name, which meant God scatters. The child announced to Israel was that God was going to scatter Israel into the nations. That's what Hosea is telling us. God would scatter Israel. And so she conceived again and bore a daughter. And then God said to him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. So I'm no longer going to have compassion, no compassion on Israel. So we've had two things said about Israel right now. I'm going to scatter them, no compassion. Now, when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. So think about the three things that are now said here. Through these children of harlotry, the message was clear. Israel will be scattered into the nations. They will receive no more mercy. They will not be loved or pitied, and they will no longer be his people. Did you hear that? I don't know if we've understood the book of Hosea as we should. God said, there's a time coming where I'm done. I'm done dealing with Israel on a national level. I'm done dealing with blood. All of that, of course, raised all sorts of questions. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about God's promises? I mean, that's a crucial question. What about God's promises? Here God has just said, throughout the Old Testament, Israel is his chosen people, the apple of his eye. But didn't God just say through Hosea that there would be a time when Israel would no longer be his people? And you answer the question, if you answer it correctly, you're going to say yes. How do we understand that then? Well, that's exactly what Paul is answering for us in Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, he cites two verses out of Hosea. Listen to 2 verse 21. It shall come to pass on that day. Now you should ask, well, on what day? That I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth, and the earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Remember, that's one of the names of Hosea's children. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. And so God right there then changes their names. Jezreel from scatters to sows. Lo-Ruhamah, which meant no compassion, to I will have compassion. And Lo-Ami, not my people, to you are my people. God said there's a day coming where I'm going to reverse this. Okay. Now, so good. I hope so far so good. Paul stamps that right in Romans 9. And then he links it with Hosea 1:10. He quotes another Hosea passage. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered. It shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Where? Where would it be said to them that they would be called sons? Well, think about everything that's been presented. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head. And they shall come up of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel, the day of sowing. What's he talking about? Well, the emphasis is in the place where it is said, you are not my people. There, they will be called my people. Well, where's that? Where they've been scattered. Where have they been scattered? Into the Gentile nations. That's exactly what happened. God scattered his people into the Gentile nations of the earth. Now, what did the Lord just say in Romans 9? I'm calling Jews and Gentiles together. So Jews and Gentiles together, wherever the Jews have gone, scattered into all the nations, wherever they call on the name of the Lord, Jew and Gentile, they shall be called together my people. Now, if you're struggling with that, let me make the case from Psalm 87. Let me read Psalm 87 for a moment. On the mount stands the city that he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion. More than all the dwelling places of Jacob, glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who mention, those who know me, I mention Egypt and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Cush. Here it is. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, for the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you, Egypt, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre. Those are Gentiles, dear listener. And where are they born again? They're born in Zion. Whoa. They're not coming to the Jerusalem temple. That's not what Psalm 87 is saying. They're born again in the Zion, which is from above, the heavenly Zion. Jews and Gentiles together, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, are born again in Zion. So Hosea said they were scattered to the ends of the earth, and there together, wherever they are, whoever calls, Jews and Gentiles, are born again and are from the heavenly Zion. It's not an earthly Zion. It's not an earthly temple. It's a heavenly one. As Paul said, the Jerusalem, which is from above, which is the mother of us all. Now, let me summarize this for a minute. There will be a time, God said, when he was looking at national Israel, when they will cease to be my people. Lo Ami. God declared that he would be done with dealing with Israel in a national blood sense, according to bloodlines. And God would scatter them in judgment into the Gentile nations of the earth. That happened. Israel will no longer be his people. The Jews being scattered and cast off will become just like Gentiles. But you say, well, how does God fulfill his promises and his love? Hosea says that this day will come when God will reverse all of this, and all the children of Israel shall be under one head. Who's that? Who's the one head? Jesus, dear listeners, only one head of God's people. So there's this day coming when they will be under one head. Who then are these people? Well, isn't it something that Paul applies the very prophecies in Romans 9 of Hosea to Jews and Gentiles together? There would be a time when God would cease to deal with Israel nationally. In the special way as a nation, they would be cut off. They would no longer be as unique people nationally, not of bloodline. This is John 1. It's not of blood, not of circumcision. Remember what he said, a true Jew is not outward. A true Jew is not somebody who's made up of blood, who comes from national Israel. That's not a true Jew. A true Jew, whether he be a physical Jew or not, or a Gentile or not, a true Jew is one who has the circumcision of the heart. So a Jew is anyone who's born again. Israel is anyone who's been given the new birth. Anyone whom God circumcised the heart, as he promised in Deuteronomy. And the announcement of this is, God would no longer be found in one nation in the earth, but God would do in that very place where the Jews had been scattered and had become not his people, he would in that place, in America, in Russia, in China, wherever they are, in that place, he would raise up a whole new special nation under one head, King Jesus, of both Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, hasn't that all been validated? You say, okay, I think I get your theory here. I think I get what you're saying here from the text. But now let me ask you this. Let me challenge you with this. Hasn't this been validated? The ultimate fulfillment is seen with Jesus. He comes, and what happens? The nation of Israel rejects him. Jerusalem was troubled at his birth. All their life, they tried to kill him. In Matthew 23, he comes and weeps over Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Jesus laments the whole history of Israel's rebellion and says, how often I long to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks. O Jerusalem, you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. Not one stone shall be left here upon another. Okay? Jesus dies on the cross. The temple veil is rent in two. The glory departs from the earthly temple, using the language of Ezekiel. And a few years later, the whole structure of the Jerusalem temple is burned to the ground. And what happened? Well, Israel is what? Scattered into the nations. And I'll deal with the 1948 thing, don't worry. And what happened at Pentecost? An entire history of the Jews and Gentiles is now presented to us in the book of Acts as coming together in the day of sowing, the day of Jezreel, the day where the gospel goes out to the ends of the earth under the reign of one head, as Hosea said, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing. All distinction between national Jews and Gentiles are now obliterated, and these peoples would be joined as one, not coming to an earthly Jerusalem temple. Think about it. There is a mosque sitting there. They can't rebuild. Why can't they? Because God doesn't want people coming to a physical structure and offering the blood of bulls and goats again. That's what would happen. They would reinstitute sacrifice and offering, and it would kill the message of Christ and Him crucified. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want a physical temple rebuilt. He wants spiritual stones rebuilt. And that's how the New Testament explains this. Remember when Cornelius was being baptized? The Jews were furious when Peter went to do this. You went into an uncircumcised man and ate with them? And Peter said, God gave them the same gift as He gave to us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I to withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has granted also to the Gentiles repentance to life. In other words, God just included the Gentiles with us. They didn't readily accept that, and Christian Zionists today don't accept that. But Paul is introducing this, and you have to feel the mammoth problem that he's dealing with here. Where does that fit that God had always planned to include the Gentiles with the Jews? I mean, even today, that's not accepted in Christian teachings, that the Jews rejected Jesus. God went to plan B with the Gentiles, but He's going to come back and have a special dealing with the Jews. Well, what is God showing us in the scriptures? Listen to 1 Peter as he speaks to New Testament Christians, dear listener. And if you get 1 Peter 2, you really get the whole thing. Peter, writing to Gentiles, says this. Speaking of Israel, he says, they stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, who were once, now think of Hosea, not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. And if you understand that, he just applied to the Gentiles the prophecies of Hosea. That means that all the language of the Old Testament is fulfilled now at Pentecost, since Jesus is reigning, since all authority has been given to Him. He's the head of the church. He's gathering out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation one people of God, so that there's now neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male and female. There's not distinctions when it comes to salvation. There's one plan of salvation. And Galatians says that, calling the Gentile church the Israel of God. Ephesians 2 says that, that he looked at Gentiles and says, listen, Gentiles, I know you used to be without Jesus, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise. You had no hope and were without God in the world. But let me tell you what's happened now. In Jesus Christ, your head, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For He Himself is our peace. Now here it is. Who has made both one. Who? Jew and Gentile. Distinctions are gone. He has made Jew and Gentile one. That's His Israel. Jew and Gentile, He's made one. He's broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained with ordinances. And what has He done? He's created in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Get it? One new man from the two. That's what he's done. The promise made to Abraham always had this in view, dear listener. We are sons of Abraham by faith, that the door would be open to the Gentiles, and together, whosoever, Jew and Gentile, calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved. And I want us to remember that. God has not cast off his people. The Lord always had a remnant. And that's his message to the ends of the earth. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ, whoever calls on him, no matter what blood nation you are, what descent you're from, whosoever believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Israel of God. As always, we're grateful you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. You can download this podcast free of charge if you go to the website at agradio.org. Explore that website. Many resources there for you, maps to churches, and we are thankful that you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. May this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.